Hey mamas, I'm Alyssa, registered dietitian, picky eating specialist, and mama of two. You're listening to the Nutrition for Littles podcast, aimed at helping you raise healthy, independent eaters. Each week, we will tackle topics like picky eating, mealtime struggles, baby-led weaning, and so much more. Let's jump right into today's topic. Hey, 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 and welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode, I want to break down something that I've been seeing as a pattern, really, with a lot of students that I've been working with, both inside the course and also one-on-one. And I think something that I want to discuss is how picky eating shows up in other areas of these kids' lives and parents' lives, really. And I've really been seeing a pattern of how these things are kind of not just staying at the table, right? Because most parents think that picky eating is just about the food, about dinner, about lunch. But what we're actually seeing is these are a pattern of behaviors that are showing up around other areas of their life. So things like power struggles, anxiety, fear, you know, what's the opposite of confidence? Not being confident around different areas, their need for control, all of those sorts of things, right? And so what I really want to start to paint the picture of that I've started to notice are these patterns are bigger than just food. And while it can show up in food and we can reverse it in food, I did an episode recently about kind of the consequences or the benefits rather of reversing picky eating, how that shows up in areas of their life. But I think it's also important to talk about it from this angle as well. So you can scroll back and listen to that episode if you're interested in that. But today we're going to be kind of talking about how this might show up at different areas of their life. Because if you've been following for a while, whether the podcast or my Instagram, you know, I talk about this all the time, that picky eating is simply a symptom, right? It's not the actual problem. So if we think of it that way, where picky eating is this symptom and it's not actually the problem, that means that that symptom has a different root cause, and that root cause is causing other symptoms to pop up. So things like needing to control what they're wearing that day, having a big sensory sensitivity to what they're wearing. I know I had a kid who would not wear jeans for the first like 8 years of his life. And there's other kind of specific examples that come up around as well, like refusing to try a new activity, refusing to try something new, especially if it's in front of other people, if there's social elements involved, if they don't want to go out and play the class, you know, sport or participate in field day, or do a music recital or any of those sorts of things. You might see that pop up there where that fear and insecurity, kind of not being as confident as they could be, pops up, or getting into certain battles, like actually getting their clothes on. Maybe they're upset over how the tag feels, how the jeans feel, how the shoes feel, how they fit, how the socks fit in between their socks and or between their feet and the shoes, right? That there's wrinkles in it or there's bumps in it, right? Meltdowns whenever they're trying something new, meltdowns over brushing their teeth, bath time, bedtime. All of these sorts of things start to paint a picture that there's a deeper subset of issues going on below just the surface level of picky eating or power struggles. And sometimes we tend to compartmentalize these things and separate them out and be like, I need to fix picky eating and I need to fix this type of behavior and I need to fix bath time and I need to fix bedtime. And well, yes, that is true. It also can just kind of transmute the problem if we don't go down to the root of what's causing their picky eating behavior or their power struggle issues. If we're trying to coast over it or just kind of fix the problem at hand, sometimes that can transmute the problem. You might fix the problem at hand, like they now go to bed on their own, but now picky eating is even harder. Or they might try the sport at, you know, the school because they're bribed with candy or whatever that might be. But then, you know, picky eating starts to rear its ugly head in a different way. And so really coming back to that core belief of picky eating being the symptom and not the problem, that there is a root cause to this behavior, starts to kind of pop up and make it click in other areas of kids' lives. So I think it's really important for us to kind of look at maybe like three different areas of their life, right? We've kind of already talked about this, the confidence. When our kids feel like they're failing around food, when they're feeling like they're not capable of trying something new, they feel maybe scared, they feel uncertain, they don't have the confidence to try something new. It shows up as picky eating behavior sometimes, not for every kid, but for a lot of kids, it can show up as being picky, even though it's not pickiness, it's a confidence issue. They feel like they don't like things. They feel like it's an identity thing, right? I can't try that. I can't eat that. I don't like that. I am this way. I am picky, right? It also might show up in other areas. That confidence issue would show up in like not actually getting out on the field and playing soccer with the whole team playing soccer. Maybe it shows up if some other kids are playing on the playground, they don't want to go over and talk to those kids. Maybe it shows up in trying something new at all, trying the jungle gym or trying to, or doing like a music recital or whatever it might be. Trying something new feels really scary for them. It's an underlying confidence issue. Another kind of area that this will show up is control and power struggles. I know as parents, we feel like power struggles are just par for the course when it comes to parenting, when in reality, I'm not going to say you're going to eliminate all of them, but you will eliminate almost all of them when you tackle the root cause of what's actually causing the power struggle to come to the surface. Because oftentimes the power struggle comes between you and them. You have different expectations. It's a great time for them to dig in their heels, especially when there's a time factor around it, or if there's a bodily autonomy factor around it. So like getting dressed, brushing their teeth, bedtime, transitions. I know those are a really hard thing as well. And sometimes it's about, you know, that root cause of whatever that issue might be. We're not working together as a team. We're not on the same page, but we look at it and think defiance, disrespect, instead of really, really recognizing that it's a learned pattern. They have learned these patterns in one area of their life, maybe picky eating, and then applied it to multiple areas in their life. Because in the past, especially in picky eating, if they fight hard enough, if they say no long enough, we give in and give them their favorite meal. Well, why wouldn't we do that with brushing their teeth? Why wouldn't we do that with their clothes, right? This has now become a learned pattern. They're not trying to be manipulative. They're actually very, very smart. They're learning cost benefit. They're learning if then. They're learning how people relate to them. And this is a very normal, healthy thing for them to be able to do, is take one pattern in one area of their life and apply it in other areas. We all do it as adults. There are positive ways that that impacts our life, and there are negative ways that that impacts our life, right? And so as a parent, we want to make sure that those skills are used best in those positive patterns, creating good habits, routines, and patterns, and not necessarily around the picky eating. And then the third area is that nervous system regulation. I know you hear me talk about this all the time, but oftentimes if we see kids who are overwhelmed, overstimulated at the table, go into meltdown, go into shutdown, go into feeling really defiant, feeling really like it's a big struggle, they go into that nervous system shutdown. They're struggling with that flexibility, those transitions, the expectations, all of that is a real big struggle. You're going to see that show up in other areas of their life. They're going to go into shutdown. So while food or picky eating might be the first place you see it, or the most obvious place you see it, it is very likely that when you start to kind of zoom out, you'll start to see those same behaviors affecting different areas of their life. I think one of the things that I look back on now as a parent who has reversed picky eating in her first, prevented it in her second, and reversed it again in her third, is really recognizing that there were moments in my parenting I didn't think things were connected. So some of these examples I've been saying are very true for me. My firstborn had a confidence issue. He had an idea and an identity. He had beliefs around himself, his capabilities, what he is capable of. He is really good at everything that he picks up. So if there's a chance of him not being good at something, if he fails, even for a second, he goes into shutdown. He doesn't want to do it anymore. He shuts down. He doesn't even want to try it. He will run away from it. He'll retreat from it. He won't even try it because he's not super resilient yet, right? Or at least at this point in his life. So I was really focused on this skill of resiliency, and I wasn't noticing that it was showing up in food. If he didn't have the skill to eat the food, if he didn't know what the food was, if he didn't understand if he would like the food or not, he was showing up really not confident around food, which then was showing up in other areas, like not going out onto the field when soccer time happened. And I'm like, what are we doing? You do fine in practice, but as soon as a game comes around and all these parents are watching, he goes in a shutdown and he just wants to sit in my lap, which was super cute when he was little. But I didn't realize that those were all tied together, and how it was coming out of picky eating, it was actually the same root problem that was showing up in his behavior at the soccer field, or, you know, trying a new musical instrument or trying a new sport. All of these things are really connected, even social situations. So this is what it looks like when we start to build more confident kids, more resilient kids, more flexible kids. There's less tension in the home. You're able to really move beyond some of these quote unquote problems that you have to work through right now or struggle through or get into power struggles over. And you're able to really build from the ground up a more resilient child who that does come out at picky eating, or rather the opposite of picky eating, reversing picky eating, but it also starts to change other areas of their life as well. So some things to kind of get started around this. Obviously, we want to recognize patterns. I think that's number one. Become really aware of are these things related? And listen, maybe they're not. That's totally fine too. I don't need to tie everything to picky eating, but I think what I'm trying to express here is that you might see it in picky eating. It might be the area of your life or your kid's life that you feel like there's a struggle, there's heels are dug in, things are happening, when in reality, it is much, much bigger than that and affecting other areas of their life. Because again, when we take that root cause approach, that root cause isn't just picky eating related, right? When someone has the root cause of sensory issues, that doesn't just come out at picky eating. It might be the most frustrating part of your life, but you probably have other sensory issues as well that show up. They don't like loud noises. They struggle with their clothes feeling too tight or a certain way. You have power struggles over getting dressed, maybe even brushing their teeth, their blankets at night, whatever this might be. Those sensory issues aren't just around food, even if that's the most deep cavern, if you will, of the problem. So it's about recognizing, what are the patterns that are showing up? How are these connected? And of course, the number one way to reverse picky eating, the first step is to remove those pressures at mealtime. When we remove the pressure at mealtime to perform, the pressure to make you happy, make you feel comfortable about how much they're eating, those patterns become far more recognizable because it's no longer impacted by how you might be unintentionally, because you love them, pressuring them to eat, right? So for some kids, they will feel pressure around eating and they want to perform for you. They want to make you happy. They want to make you feel a certain way. And other kids have, listen, no interest in how you feel and 100% interest in how they feel, right? So it's going to come out differently. So removing that pressure is truly one of the best things we can do. So we've got recognizing patterns, removing that pressure, and letting the kids build their relationship with food in general. So sometimes that's a skill issue. Sometimes that's an understanding issue. Sometimes that's, you know, working on that root cause of whatever it might be, a sensory issue, texture issue, whatever that root cause is, working on that level for them to slowly build back up trust and confidence in food is a huge way to help our picky eaters. Plus focusing on how they're experiencing foods. So while it's easy for us as parents to have 20, 30, 40 years of experience with foods, they're brand new. So recognizing those patterns and watching, how are they experiencing meals? How are they experiencing me right now? How's their nervous system fluctuating with the ebbs and flows of dinner time? How are they responding to a new food on their plate? How are they responding to their favorite food on their plate? How are they responding to mealtimes? All of these things are gathering data and information so that they can succeed. Because remember, the goal, yes, is to reverse picky eating and raise a good eater. But ultimately, we want to do that through resilience and confidence as being a human. Being a good eater is not just about clearing their plate and showing mom and dad that they did it, right? It's about being able to listen to their body, eat appropriately, make good choices that honor their body, feel confident around food, understand how and what their body needs to eventually make their own decisions. Right now, you're building that scaffolding, you're holding them up, but eventually they're gonna be 20 years old and they're gonna be making all of these decisions on their own. All right, so if this podcast episode was helpful for you, first of all, I would love it if you rate it and gave it a review. I know there are thousands and thousands of you who listen every single week, and I would really love our reviews to show that, to reach more people like you. So if you've even found one nugget of helpful information, whether in this episode or in past episodes, please, please, please take 2 seconds to give it a rating and review. I would be so appreciative. And if you're interested in learning more about this root cause approach to reversing picky eating, you can check out the show notes down below. I will link my training for you. Hands down, highly recommend, even if it's been a while, you know, from my last training that you've done, highly recommend. We've updated it. It's been a phenomenal, phenomenal training that's helped thousands of parents start right away reversing picky eating. And I can't wait for you to check it out. All right, I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you're walking away with some tangible ways to bring peace to your mealtimes. And if you like this episode, please subscribe and tell all your mom friends. And as always, the best compliment you can give me is leaving a rating and written review, which also helps other mamas like you find this podcast too. You can find more from me on Instagram at Nutrition for Littles. Do you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast? Email me at Alyssa@nutritionforlittles.com. All right, until next time, mamas.